Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Dog attacks are more common than you realize. A dog that disfigures or even kills someone is not required to be euthanized. The owner is likely to pay a fine that's little more than a traffic ticket. Columbus Dispatch reporter Laura Bischoff spent 9 months investigating dog attacks for the series Vicious, How Ohio Laws Fail Dog Attack Victims. This was a joint investigation with reporters from the Cincinnati Inquirer, the Columbus Dispatch, Akron Beacon Journal, and Canton Repository. Laura joins us now. Welcome back to All Sides, Laura.
Hey, good morning, Amy.
So this was a powerful and eye-opening series. When did you realize that there was a disturbing trend going on that merited this kind of an in-depth investigation?
Believe it or not, 11 years ago.
11?
Yeah.
What happened then?
I used to work for the Dayton Daily News, and there was a horrible fatality dog mauling attack in Dayton. Not that there's anything but horrible fatalities in dog mauling cases. But a woman, 58 years old, Kalonda Ritchie, she was very afraid of her neighbor's two mixed mastiff dogs. And she had called the dog warden multiple times. She had put up a security fence. She asked for a protective order. None of that protected her. None of it mattered. She was found by a passerby on a snowy February morning in 2014, mauled to death. And that prompted a series of six different lawmakers, mostly from the Dayton area, to try to change Ohio's dog laws, which the dog law was reformed in 2012, and it shifted away from breed-specific legislation that painted all pit bulls as dangerous to focusing on the deed, not the breed. So focusing on the behavior of individual dogs and if there's aggressive behavior, not just automatically assuming based on the breed. So the under the law, the new law, which is now 13, 14 years old, there's hardly anything more than a misdemeanor. The owners of the dogs in the Kalonda Ritchie death paid some fines and they served a few months in jail, but that was it. And they only had misdemeanor convictions on that case. Mm. So this is something that's kind of been on my to-do list for a while. Every single of those six different lawmakers failed to get the legislature to buy into any kind of reforms, and no one has touched it since 2019.
Wow. So you found that Ohio averages thousands of cases a year. How did you go about tallying all of those cases? How did you track them all down and figure out the numbers?
Well, if a dog bites you and breaks the skin in Ohio, you're supposed to report that to your local health department. Mm-hmm. And often if police are called or you have to go to urgent care or an emergency room or something like that, those authorities will make that report to the public health department. And so the public health department then reports the information to the Ohio Department of Health, which has the aggregate numbers for each year. Mm. And then that also goes and gets reported to the federal level so that the CDC can look at trends. So the data is there. There is a little bit of a lack of transparency in that, it is public information, but it's not easily viewable without making a formal request.
Could I look and see if my neighbor's dog, who I find a little intimidating, could I look up and see if they have been cited for anything?
Well, sure. I mean, you can look in the court records and see mm-hmm. if there's been something at municipal court level. Mm-hmm. We built maps for Franklin County, Hamilton, Stark, and Summit counties, and it shows the 17,000 bites across Ohio in a given year, just in our counties, it's just a widespread problem. And that's a vast undercount. There's twice that many that go unreported because people don't know that they're supposed to report, or maybe they don't want the hassle of, challenging their neighbor whose dog bit their kid or whatever. So there's a vast undercount. You can look up the animal bite records. You have to make a request to your local health department. When we requested to the health departments the bite data, they gave us it was kind of varied by county, but we got the address of the owner. We got the owner's names. We had to fight for that in court with a couple of counties. And then we got like some of them tracked the dog name, the dog breed, the description, the date, the time, et cetera. But we did not get the victim name. So we didn't really know, were the bites happening at the local park or at the patio where you get your coffee or whatever. So it was difficult to figure out where it was happening. And we couldn't do any real analysis about whether or not it was happening more frequently in certain neighborhoods.
Hmm. And you found that on average, there's two fatal dog attacks a year. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what Ohio's been averaging, according to CDC records. It's, you know, last year there were three fatalities that we know of.
Now, in October of 2024, Joanne Eckelberger was outside working in her garden near Circleville when she was viciously attacked by two neighbor dogs. And just a warning, the details in these cases we're going to talk about this hour are graphic. Can you tell me what happened in that case?
Yeah, so she had moved to this condo complex. She was caring for her husband, Stanley, who has dementia and Parkinson's disease, and she just wanted something that was less maintenance than their old house. She loved the condo. She, according to her family, she had really no idea that there were two pit bull-type dogs next door and that there had been problems in the neighborhood, including a prior attack in October of 2023. These dogs were owned by a mother and son, Susan and Adam Withers. And the dog, one of the two dogs, had attacked another neighbor, Kimberly Black, and killed her puppy, a golden doodle named Nemo, and injured Kim. She suffered some fractures and had to have stitches. And that triggered a dog warden report to deem one of the dogs as dangerous. So when you get a dangerous dog designation, that triggers a bunch of requirements for the owner. Like, you're supposed to only walk the dog on a muzzle with on a short chain leash, none of this retractable stuff. And you have to keep it contained. If it's in your backyard, it has to be a locked, contained area. And you have to post a beware of dog sign. Mm. Although the law is silent on, you know, exactly what does the sign have to say? How big does it have to be? Where should it be posted? In the Withers case, they had one sign that was not visible from the door. It was kind of like on a opposing wall. And then just like a little sign the size of like a nameplate, like a desk nameplate, tucked in a window inside of a screen porch. So
you'd have to be practically in the house to see it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so in October of 2024, Joanne, she was 73 years old. She was just doing a little bit of gardening work on a plot kind of between the two adjacent condos. And the Withers were out. Susan Withers had gone to work, and Adam Withers was elsewhere. And they their front door was busted. Like, the latch on the door didn't work. So the dogs were able to escape. They came out and attacked Joanne viciously. It was a horrible death. And the Asheville police came, and the dogs started to charge at one of the officers. The officer shot one of the dogs. It took off and then went after another woman, Courtney Johnson, and killed one of her two dogs.
Wow, after being shot. Wow.
After being shot at.
Yeah.
And then, then the officer turns his attention to the other dog, Echo, which is like standing over Joanne, as Stanley, who, again, he's got Parkinson's, he's got dementia, he relies on either a walker or a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. He's horrified. He is watching this all happen from the screened-in porch, and he cannot get to help his wife.
Mm. And it's such a sad case. The family has sued over their mother's death. They filed actually very recently in Pickaway County Common Pleas Court. Here is Eckelberger's daughter, Erlene, from a dispatch video. There's some videos that accompany Laura's series.
I want answers. I want accountability for everyone that was reckless in the situation. And, you know, I want my mom's death to mean something. I want it to help the community so that this doesn't happen to somebody else. This can never happen again. This is the most horrific thing that a person could go through, especially such a beautiful, wonderful person as my mom. She should have never had to die in such a manner that she did.
So what is the family hoping for from the lawsuits?
Well, they're seeking damages of at least $25,000. In the Clonda Ritchie case, the estate of Clonda Ritchie sued the Montgomery County Dog Warden's Office and recovered $3.2 million in that case. Mm. I don't know how far the Eckelbarger case will be able to take it. They have already received some satisfaction in that Susan and Adam Withers were both convicted of felony involuntary manslaughter. It is difficult under Ohio's dog law to get to a felony, and what it requires is mostly a documentation of a prior aggressive case. So in this one, they had the case in which Kimberly Black was attacked and her dog was killed, and that helped lay the groundwork for the felony charges against them. Mm.
Now, you cited a lot of things in your story, and we'll get through them throughout the course of the hour. But the one that was probably the most startling is the fact that a dog who disfigures someone or kills someone does not necessarily need to be euthanized.
That's right. Euthanasia is often left up to, well, often it happens like on site if a dog charges an officer who is mm-hmm. responding. Often it's left up to the dog owner. And under Ohio law, a dog can get out, kill somebody, be deemed a vicious dog, in which it's all the dangerous dog requirements plus liability insurance and some other elevated conditions to keep the dog. If that vicious dog gets out a second time and kills another human being, then the court must order euthanasia. But the court does not have to order euthanasia on the first kill. It's called the two free kill provision. I think that, you know, when you tell people about that, they're outraged.
And that's a law? Do you know when?
That's part of the 2012
change. Okay.
Yeah, dog law reform.
So in doing the series, you talked to a lot of people, and then you also did talk to some lawmakers. You talked with Governor DeWine recently, and what did he say about Ohio's dog laws had he read your reporting?
Yeah, I mean, he said that these were just very sad and shocking cases and that Ohio needs to do better. There needs to be some sort of reforms, and he's confident that the legislature will tackle it. State Representative Kevin Miller, who's a Republican from Lancaster, he's a former state trooper, he is working on a bill to for sure get rid of the two free kill thing. I think that he's working with the dog wardens to try to give the dog wardens more tools. He is hesitant to apply more criminal penalties to dog owners. I think that was something that killed off previous bills, and I think that's something that Miller is aware of and is concerned. He wants a bill that will actually pass.
Yeah, in another interview you did that I listened to, you were talking about, you know, for a lot of people, a dog is a member of their family, so it is a hard... It is a hard thing, you know, if the dog is aggressive, but you know, the dog is a part of their family.
Right. And so, you know, you talk to dog wardens and they'll say you could go in and take almost anything from someone, but when you try to take away their dog, there's a fight. Mm-hmm. It's a very emotional tie. 54% of Americans see their dogs as much of a family member as a human member.
And within the same week that you had this series come out, and I'm sure you had the date of the series planned in advance and everything, but within the same week, there was a recent case that's not included in your series because it happened within that same day. An 8-year-old, Oscar Kuhn, was mauled by two dogs in North Linden. He had extensive injuries. He had to have a 7-hour surgery. You know, what do you hear from victims or looking at, like, long-term recovery for these types of things?
Yeah, I mean, for somebody like Oscar Kuhn, who's, as you said, 8 years old, according to the 911 audio of his father calling for help, it sounds like he had extensive damage to his face and at least one arm. The recovery for that is long-term. It can involve, you know, a dozen surgeries over many years. And then there's the psychological trauma that goes with it, you know. It hurts a child's ability to feel safe. And it certainly will impact their self-confidence and self-esteem because, you know, people stare and they make comments and they're mean-spirited.
Did you find, I mean, I don't know if there's more dog attacks for against children than adults. Is there a stats on that?
Yeah, I mean, kids actually are disproportionately represented in the attacks, the injuries, and in the fatalities. Mm-hmm. Kids often don't know how to read a dog's behavior, they also are low to the ground. They're tinier. They're more likely to fall down and trigger that prey response or predator-prey response that a dog might have. Mm.
So coming up later this hour, we're going to talk to the past president of the Ohio Dog Wardens Association. And then also coming up, we're going to hear from two women who lived through the horrors of a vicious dog attack, and they are advocating for change. Also, Laura Bischoff from the Columbus Dispatch is going to stay with us. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Morning. It's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking this hour about vicious dog attacks and the physical and mental toll they take on the victims and their families. We're going to hear now from two women who have experienced how dog attacks can upend lives. Still with us is Columbus Dispatch reporter Laura Bischoff, the investigative reporter for the series Vicious. Thanks again for being here, Laura.
Hey, thank you.
And we're now joined by Drew Russell, whose daughter Avery was severely injured in a dog attack. Welcome, Drew.
Hi.
And also with us is Eva Simmons, who lost a leg in a dog attack. Welcome, Eva.
Thank you.
So both are advocating for stronger laws, and we will get to that in just a few minutes. But first, I'm going to ask you to share as much as you feel comfortable with the stories of what happened. And listeners, this may be a little graphic. Drew, your daughter, Avery, at the time was 11. Mm-hmm. She was at a friend's house for a play date. It was a school friend. It was a family you knew and trusted, and you got a call that they wanted to move the play date to a cousin's house in Reynoldsburg. Mm-hmm. I think everyone can resonate with that if you have kids, of just, you know, okay, here's the play date, here's what's going on, but you don't have control over certain things. So they're there at this cousin's house. There are four pit bulls there as well. What happened whenever someone called you and told you what had happened?
It was probably an hour or less than I got the call that they were actually going over the cousin's house. And I was just like, okay, didn't think anything wrong with it. You know, they didn't get to go to the pool that day because it was cold. So I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I get this call. And you hear people say one call can rock your life and totally change your life. But you never think that it could be you and happen to that extreme, but that's exactly what happened that day. Her friend called, and she was really frantic and crying, and she said, your daughter got bit by a dog. So I'm just thinking, okay, she's in a little pain. She got bit. She's going to need some stitches, maybe. I'll go get her. We'll go to urgent care. We'll be fine. And then when she couldn't put an adult on the phone, like her mom wasn't available. And then I said, well, where's Avery? She said she's outside laying on the ground. Mm-hmm. And I was like, still kind of confused, not sure really what that means. Because at this point, I'm still talking to a kid and I'm trying to get an adult on the phone. Finally, I get a neighbor on the phone who really is clueless, doesn't know anything. I get he gives the phone finally to the police because he tells me they're not going to talk to you because they're busy. And I said, yes, they will talk to me. I'm that child's mother. And the officer wouldn't tell me anything. Mm. He wouldn't tell me if she was conscious. He wouldn't tell me if she was, like, breathing. They wouldn't even tell me if she was still alive. He just told me, don't come here. Go to meet us at Children's. And I get to Children's. And when I get into that trauma room, it was like a scene out of a horror film.
And anyone who's seen the photos and videos that accompany the stories that Laura wrote can attest to just how gruesome her injuries were.
Laura, you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's, so Laura, the neighbors who heard the attack, you talked to them?
Well, they gave witness statements to the Reynoldsburg police, and there was one guy who was power washing a house nearby, and he had the good sense to, extend the power washer over and start spraying at the dogs to try to keep them off of Avery and also the playdate mom, Jessica Henry, who was also being attacked in the backyard. They were both so severely injured, and the Reynoldsburg police officer, again, had to shoot one of the dogs on site because it started to charge him. And Avery, her injuries were so severe, the officer, you could hear him say, I got you, buddy. Okay, son. Like, he couldn't tell she was a boy or a girl.
Oh, I did hear that in the video, and I was wondering, okay, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Her hair was so matted up that you couldn't even tell that she really had long hair. Her clothes were just like, it's just terrible.
So we also have in the studio with us Eva Simons. You have a story as well. So your attack occurred in October of 2022. You were in Vinton County, which is in southern Ohio, on a bicycling trip, and you got a flat tire. So you were walking your bike back. Can you pick up the story from there? What
Correct.
Happened?
Yeah. Yes, it started on a beautiful day. I was happy to ride in my favorite area, Lake Hope. I've done that route with friends many times. So we rode out from the parking lot about 4 miles to the Moonville Tunnel, which is, it's a tourist site. And then when we started climbing from there, I realized I had a flat tire and I tried to fix it, but I couldn't repair it. So turned around, I just shouted to my friends who were already ahead of me. I said, I'm going back to the car. You guys go ahead. I'll meet you back at the parking lot for lunch. And on a beautiful day, walking 4 miles back to the car was nothing. Mm-hmm. I just started walking and probably about a mile and a quarter from the car. And in the meantime, while I was walking, I met someone, Heather, who was bird watching. And, we exchanged a few words. I continued walking. And then I was attacked. The dogs, three pit bulls, came kind of from what seemed like from nowhere, but there was a house on the side of the road. And I only saw them at the last minute. They literally were on me when I saw them in the corner of my eye. So the only thing I could do was, grab my bike and kind of use it as a shield. But because there were three of them, they were trying to surround me because they acted as a pack. And, of course, I started screaming, hoping that the owners would come out and call the dogs off, but there was no one around. So
this went on for a while.
I kept backing away from the property, thinking they'll leave me alone, but they just pursued me, constantly trying to surround me. So eventually they tripped me because they were biting my legs. I got down on the ground, and after that they dragged me by my feet while biting me constantly into a field. And Heather, that I had met earlier, happened to see it through her you know, high zoom camera.
Wow.
And she figured out something was not right with the photo, but she actually had a photo of me surrounded by these dogs. And then she jumped in the car and drove, you know, the short distance to where I was. And in the meantime, another car came by with Anthony Masters and Joni Kessler, who were just visiting, you know, the area. And those three people saved my life. They risked their own trying to scare these dogs, but if they didn't come when they did, I wouldn't be here.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about dog attacks after an investigative series that ran in several Ohio newspapers. The reporter Laura Bischoff is with us. Also in the studio, we have Drew Russell, whose daughter Avery was severely injured in a dog attack, and Eva Simons, who lost a leg in the dog attack. So let's talk a little bit about the recovery and how is Avery doing, Drew?
Well, today she's doing awesome.
Yeah.
Fun fact, she tried to play hooky this morning. It didn't work. but yeah, she's doing so good. She's so brave and she's so strong. And she just faces everything with the most positive attitude that you like. There's no way that I could be like she is.
How many surgeries has she had?
She's had six so far.
Six. And some of them were repair, and then are you into the cosmetic part now?
No, we're still in reconstruction. Mm. She lost a lot of nerve. She has a lot of nerve damage in the bottom left side of her face. So they're trying to help her, like, when they repair the reconstruction, they're also trying to repair some nerve damage so she can get some more feeling back in that part of her face. But I always say they took her ears, but she can hear. They gouged her eyes, but she could see. I just thank God for that quick-acting power washer. Mm-hmm. I still haven't got to meet him. If you're listening, thank you so much. You saved my daughter's life.
And Drew, you can answer, or Laura, mm-hmm. you can jump in. What happened to the dogs in this case?
So one of them was shot like four times. Mm-hmm. So that's why he was euthanized. Mm-hmm. The other one is still with animal control and still alive and kicking.
The dog owner in this case, Stephanie Ayers, is charged with some misdemeanors in Franklin County Municipal Court and is scheduled for trial in April. The second dog has been impounded at Franklin County Animal Control since the attack in June. And Ayers has pled not guilty.
Okay. And Eva, you lost a leg in the attack. And how are you doing now?
I'm doing great. Mm-hmm. You know, my life is very different, but it's still, I'm very lucky. I'm back to biking differently, mm-hmm. adaptive biking. So I use recumbent trike. And I'm back to riding with my friends. I do hiking. I camp. I can't run anymore, at mm-hmm. least for now. But I also took up new sports like downhill skiing. Mm. I didn't do it when I had two legs, and now I'm using adaptive equipment. And
are active.
Do you know what happened to the dogs involved in your attack?
Yes, there were three dogs. So this is, again, from the police report and from the reports from my friends. But when the deputies came on site, I was already gone to the mm-hmm. hospital. But the dogs were attacking the deputies. So two of them were shot mm-hmm. right after the attack. And the third one ran off somewhere, and I think it was captured and shot the next day, while the owners were still out of town.
Okay. So I wanted to ask both of you, what changes would you like to see in Ohio's dog laws, Drew?
I personally think that there needs to be harsher penalties for the dog owners. I still find it very baffling in our case that those dogs have not been deemed vicious. They just got deemed dangerous, all because there wasn't a reported attack before. Mm-hmm. I think that's crazy. So I think they need to reevaluate how they deem a dog to be vicious and dangerous. I also think that people need to be held accountable for the crimes their animals commit, just like you would be held accountable for the crimes mm-hmm. your children commit.
Mm-hmm. And Laura, what she's getting at here, there's levels: nuisance dog, dangerous dog, vicious mm-hmm. dog. But the only way for those levels to happen is there has to be a report on the dog. Is that right?
Yeah, for the most part, the dangerous dog again breaks skin. A vicious dog is one that causes serious disfigurement, maiming, amputations, death, right? Mm-hmm.
So, Eva, what changes would you like to see in the dog laws?
Well, again, I would like to see some accountability and responsibility, and I've been thinking about it. So there was financial penalties or recourses, but that's not really enough. Because most people don't carry insurance, and unless it's some kind of commercial enterprise that owns these dogs, the financial penalties are very minimal. The fines for the dogs for lack of registration or containment are minimal. And I'd like to see some kind of criminal penalties, misdemeanor for serious injuries, because in my case, what hurt me most was that the owners didn't feel anything other than paying the fines, and they were on a payment plan too, so they really didn't feel it. And they went trick-or-treating the day after my surgery with their kids, and it just felt wrong that they mm-hmm. felt nothing. They went on with their life, and they can do it again. There is nothing on their record preventing them from getting another pack of dogs mm-hmm. and doing it all over again.
Drew, you're agreeing. Yeah.
Yeah. Stephanie got more dogs right after Avery's attack.
Yeah.
There was more dogs living in that house, and there was someone beating them with a metal pole in the backyard. I mean, I don't think that's cool either, and that's probably why they attack, because they're probably scared, of the abuse. But it's just irresponsible dog ownership. And I just, if somebody just would have taken 30 to 60 seconds, that's all it takes to secure your animals when they're your animals. It doesn't take long. Yeah. We wouldn't be sitting here right now.
And for both of you, is insurance covering all the surgeries and the recovery? Do you just happen to have good insurance?
Yeah. In our case, yes, insurance is covering. They are giving some pushback. And we do have, I guess you can call it a lien with our insurance settlement that we have to pay them. But they have to put a clause in where they can't discontinue her benefits.
And what about the mental toll for your daughter? Is she afraid of dogs now?
She is. Mm-hmm. And she was a dog lover before, so it's really sad. The only dogs that she will go around is my mom's and the butterfly paws at Children's Hospital. Mm. Those are the only dogs she feels safe with. Even my sister's dog, who she's been with since she was a puppy, she's an American bully, kind of like in the same family, but sweet as can be, she will not go anywhere near her.
Yeah. Eva, what about you? Do you have dogs in your family?
No, my son has a German Shepherd that I'm afraid of, and I'm going to visit him in California on Thursday, and he promised he's going to kennel the dog while I'm there. Yeah. So I appreciate it. He knows that, I just can't be around dogs that feel insecure with outside people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I You know, I see dogs. I used to walk around the neighborhood with dog treats. I don't have a dog myself now, but I always carry dog treats walking around. And, you know, I love dogs, but I have experienced some PTSD episodes, especially when I see pit bulls and when they just behave, you know. In a kind of irrational manner.
That's how Avery is. She gets, like, locks up and freezes when she sees a pit bull. Like, she won't move.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. We were in West Virginia on a trail, and there was a pit bull right in the middle of the trail, and I just froze. And my partner, Bob, he says, "No, it's just one dog. I'm going to chase him away." And I said, "You don't understand. I can't move. I'm just frozen in fear."
Yeah.
Laura, did you hear a lot of this during your investigation when you were talking with people, the trauma afterward? It's not just surviving the attack, but then there's more.
Yeah, I think that the mental trauma after the attack is as much or more than some of the physical injuries. We interviewed a couple of different pediatric specialists at Cincinnati Children's and at Nationwide Children's. And they said that in any case of dog bites, even if it's a minor bite, there's a trauma for the kid and also for the family. A beloved pet possibly has turned against the child, and the parents don't feel that they can keep their kid safe, and the kid doesn't feel safe. And so, and that's just on minor, you know, issues. So yeah, I think that the PTSD and the fear of dogs is something that is extremely difficult to overcome.
Well, coming up, we're going to talk with the past president of the Ohio Dog Wardens Association, but I want to say thank you both for telling your stories, and thanks for coming here today. Thank you to Drew Russell, whose daughter Avery was severely injured in a dog attack. Thank you for joining us, Drew.
Thank you.
And good luck to you and Avery. I hope that all the remaining surgeries go well.
Thank you.
And also Eva Simons, who lost a leg in a dog attack. Thank you for telling your story today.
Thank you.
And just good luck to you with all of your activities.
Thank you.
Keep downhill skiing. Yes.
I will. Well, next year.
Next year, yes. Coming up, we're going to talk with the past president of the Ohio Dog Wardens Association and see what changes dog wardens would like to see. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. A First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Still with us is Columbus Dispatch investigative reporter Laura Bischoff for the series Vicious. Thanks for joining us, Laura.
Back at it.
And joining us now is Matt Granito, past president of the Ohio Dog Wardens Association. He serves in Geauga County as the Geauga County Dog Warden, where he's worked in the animal field for 34 years. In addition to the Dog Warden Association, he also sits on the advisory board for the Ohio Commercial Dog Breeders. Welcome to All Sides, Matt.
Thank you. Good morning.
So let's start by explaining what you do as a dog warden and how dog wardens are associated with local police.
So, yeah, we started out a long time ago just using nets, picking them up. It's evolved, especially in the state of Ohio. We are more law enforcement based. We don't go out. We still go out and pick up stray dogs running down the street, but a lot of times they're caught by the owner or caught by neighbors, and then we just go pick them up. We're working a lot more with dangerous dogs and vicious dogs. We're seeing a lot more in these across the state, and we're trying to combat those issues that we're seeing, a lot of dog bites that are happening, and the laws are just very antiquated on what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do.
What is the biggest challenge you would say facing dog wardens right now?
The biggest challenge is when we do get a dog bite, we are in a situation where we're not allowed to take the dog. We're not allowed to, we can give them a citation, have them go to court. We can civilly charge them with it. And a lot of times we have communities that are upset because, the dog ran across the street, bit the 2-year-old child. And we have to go out and explain to them, well, they're allowed to keep their dog until they got their time in court. And these dogs are still in those communities. And a lot of, most of the time, when the dog does that, the dog is then confined and contained by the owner. But there are times where these dogs get out multiple more times. And there are a lot of people that are upset and frustrated with the law.
Now, even you as a dog warden, have you faced some dogs that you are afraid of?
Any dog warden could probably tell you. I can probably name about, even in Geauga County, about 4 or 5 dogs that I would tell you that are in our community that aren't deemed dangerous or vicious because they haven't done anything yet. But if they were to get loose, they would bite you. And every county in the state, if you talk to animal control or dog wardens such as us, we could probably name you addresses and say, yeah, if this dog gets loose, it's going to bite.
And your group has a wish list of things you'd like to see change in the Ohio law, such as clarifying police powers of dog wardens, increasing penalties for violent dogs. Can you pick just one or two of the most important changes you hope to see?
Some of the biggest changes we're hoping to see, and Representative Miller out of the 69th is helping us on this, is first going with the dog bites and the dog enforcement. We're seeing a lot of people, and we love our animals. Trust me, everyone loves their animals. And, just a week ago, we had a dog bite and it bit their child in the face, and the child went to the hospital. And when I was talking to them, they said, well, we want to rehome it. And our scenario is, well, you don't know how this dog did this and why it did it, and you just want to move it to another home where they're like, well, we don't want to put it down. It's our pet. And we get it, we understand that, but putting it into another house isn't going to fix that problem. The biggest wish w list is that, is trying to control animal rights and animal protection for those animals. We also, as far as humane, is trying to work with, do we have legal authority to do humane cases? At this point, we don't believe we do, but right now we have 88 counties and there's probably 88 different variations of what the law is. And it's just various prosecutors not determining what it is, and our law has never been completely defined in black and white.
Yeah, Laura Bischoff, reporter from the Columbus Dispatch.
So I was just going to clarify that under Ohio law, animal cruelty is a felony in Ohio, and it's typically investigated by the local humane society or humane agent, which is often not the dog warden. So it's another quirk in the law. And sometimes there's that opens the door to miscommunication or lack of communication on these cases.
And what Matt was mentioning about 88 counties having 88 different sets of rules, did you come across that and talk in reporting this? Because you worked with
Yeah,
different newspapers,
like
yeah.
some of the dog wardens are kind of organized under the sheriff's office, and some are under the county board of commissioners. Some dog wardens, like in Licking County, they look like police officers. They have uniforms and vests, and they carry tasers and guns and handcuffs and the whole shebang. But then you come over to adjacent Franklin County, and they wear vests, but they don't carry tasers or guns, or they don't exercise the police powers. The dog warden has the authority to enforce a section of the code which has to do with dogs. And regular police officers can also enforce that section of the code, but wardens can only do that section.
We've spent a lot of this hour talking about prevention, but I did want to have a few minutes before we run out of time to talk about protection. I have some sound for those uncertain of what to do if they know about a dangerous dog. Here is Licking County Dog Warden Larry Williams' advice. He was featured in a video that the Columbus Dispatch has that accompanies their series Vicious.
Always report it. Always report it. Even if you don't want to go through the designation or the criminal charges, at least have it on file and report it so somebody can do an investigation. I don't know how many times we go out on an incident. What happened four times before, or three times, or whatever it was? Okay, well, we've never been reported. We've never had a report. Why aren't you guys doing anything? Because it's never been reported to us.
Matt, do you hear that as well? Not enough people report the dangerous dog, so you don't have any prior incidents to cite?
Yeah, a lot of times you get two neighbors, the dog comes over and growls at them, and the neighbor comes over and they work it out themselves, and three or four times happen, and then when the animal does bite and causes damage, that's when Larry's exactly right. Then we're getting a call and say, we knew about this, 6 months ago. And, the four or five that I say will bite, we've been able to at least go over and warn the owner and say, listen, you should get training for the dog. We can't require you, but we know your dog has a potential to bite if it gets loose. And if it does, you're going to be in trouble. So it gives us at least the ability to talk and know that, hey, let's make sure there's a red flag over there, that this dog has that potential. But without getting a report, we have no idea it's out there.
Did you hear that too, Laura, that people don't report it enough?
Oh, absolutely. It's way underreported. And, you think of like Avery Russell's case, in reading the police reports after the fact that witnesses had said, those dogs were always growling and menacing along the fence and kind of nuisance animals in the first place. And they also, Reynoldsburg City Attorney's Office found two prior bites by those dogs against children.
Hmm. You also, as a part of this dispatch investigation, you have some videos, and one of the videos shows people how to protect themselves if they're attacked by a dog. Did you feel compelled that you wanted to be able to help people know what to do?
I think that, that's sort of a good piece of public service is to say, here's how to avoid problems.
Yeah, Matt, could you go over how can someone protect themselves if they find themselves being attacked by a dog?
Absolutely. We actually explain in our community is when you're going walking down the street, especially if you know you have neighbors that have dogs, bring mace or pepper spray. It's very important that, and you don't want to use it, but obviously, as we say, as people, if a dog gets loose, it may want to come after you. And at that point, we try to protect them. Kids riding their bikes down the street. A lot of dogs are prey drive. And what it is my dog chases the vehicles down the mm-hmm. street. She's on the invisible fence, but she's in that prey drive mode. And as we tell children is get off the bike. Don't keep driving your bike because that's where the dog enjoys the chase. And they're going to go and try to grab you and take you down because that's what dogs are inherently used to doing. So what we try to explain to people is bring, protection as far as mace. But if you encounter the dog, to just stop and just try to remain calm. Try not to get excited, because if you get excited, you're going to excite the dog, which could cause things. Not to make too much eye contact with the dog. Look in its direction, but try to look away. And it's sort of, as I say, is, when two people are staring each other down, you get an upset one, and it's usually the dog. So when I'm even trying to catch a dog, I'm looking away, and usually I'm saying, hey, do you want to go outside? Do you want a treat? And using those sounds, because most people understand that when they talk to their dog, they talk to their dog that way. Hey, you want to go for a car ride? And using that type of sound sometimes can soothe the dog to understand you're not a threat to him, but you might have something or might have something that they like. Mm.
Laura, we have just 1 minute left. I mean, you spent a lot of time doing this investigation. Do you have any one last takeaway you want to tell our listeners?
Well, I just think that this is a problem that is pretty consistent. It's staring us right in the face. It happens all the time. And oftentimes we don't pay that much attention to it because it happens in isolation. Like there'll be a terrible attack, there might be some headlines, and then it fades from view. But this is happening over and over and over again across Ohio.
And I want to say thank you to the Columbus Dispatch investigative reporter Laura Bischoff. You can find the series Vicious at the Dispatch's website. Thank you again, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
And also Matt Granito, past president of the Ohio Dog Wardens Association. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And this is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jarovich.